This is the voice of the Trumpet Magazine. News, economy, politics, trends, discovery, health, family, the Bible, the future. This is Trumpet Hour.
Hello, I hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm Joel Hilliker. Perhaps you've read Machiavelli's The Prince or Sun Tzu's The Art of War. These are celebrated treatises explaining how the world of politics and national affairs works. They have a lot of profound insights that illuminate events around us even today. But there's actually a book that contains tremendous understanding on matters of state that was inspired by God himself. It's the Book of Proverbs in the Holy Bible. A man named Coleridge called the Book of Proverbs the best statesman's manual which was ever written. God gave Solomon and other writers of Proverbs keen insight into human nature and how it expresses itself within society and within politics. A remarkable number of the Proverbs have special relevance to world events today, particularly in the modern nations of Israel, America, Britain, and other English-speaking nations. We're going to spend today's Trumpet Hour looking at these Proverbs that illuminate current events. They were written nearly 3,000 years ago, but as we read them, we'll also look at some recent headlines and news stories that show just how active and relevant they are. Proverbs 14 and verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." That is so true, and it's something that you really see within the modern nations of Israel today. I'm reminded of a story that Herbert W. Armstrong told of a man who was speaking to a group of investors, and he was saying that to really be a successful investor, you have to look not just at the kinds of conditions that relate specifically to economic issues. You need to look at what he called the boiler room of a nation, and that is whether it was actually a righteous nation. If people treated each other righteously, if they were fair in their business dealings, if they took care of one another and looked after one another in a way that really reflected quality character. That's how you could see the future of the nation. And he said this just before a major stock market crash, and Mr. Armstrong just noted that he saw a spiritual dimension to that question that really was insightful. If a nation is to be great, it must be godly. God's way leads to good outcomes. When a nation is righteous, then it's doing the things that make for prosperity and success and security and peace. The people are treating each other fairly. Righteousness prevents disunity and division. It prevents greed and avarice and indebtedness. It prevents foolishness and naivety in foreign policy. And then on top of that, a righteous nation receives God's blessings. Now, this principle in this proverb, Proverbs 14, verse 34, is probably something we more readily think of in how righteousness exalts an individual or a family. And it definitely does do that. But those blessings become widespread, even universal, as righteousness extends to the national level. And of course, the same is true of sin. Sin creates problems for an individual. It creates problems within a family. It makes someone weak and ineffective and inward-focused, self-absorbed. It makes them cynical and miserable. Now, all of those attributes that afflict individual sinners spread to infect the national character. It says, sin is a reproach to any people, and that can also read, sin is a disgrace to any people. And really, when you look at America and other modern nations of Israel today, you see exactly that reality reflected. Sin, there's a lot of sin, there's a lot of ungodliness, and it truly is a disgrace. And this proverb says it's not just a reproach to a nation, it's a reproach to any people. Any church or school or business that is caught up in sin. That's going to be a disgrace to that people. Now, I want to look at Proverbs 30, and we'll just read verses 11 through 14. And here we read some of the specific sins for which God condemns us. Verse 11 of Proverbs 30 says, "There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother." So this is describing disrespect of parents within unhappy and fractured families. Verse 12 says, "There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness." It's a very vivid picture. You see this moral filthiness coupled with self-satisfaction. You have a complete disregard for God's law, and it's matched with self-righteousness. Verse 13 says, "There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." So you have complete arrogance and unchecked vanity. And then in verse 14, it says, "There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." And really, I think you see a combination of those things, that arrogance, that vanity, coupled with this weapon-like use of words. Really, in today's world, I think these problems seem particularly applicable to the elites in society that just have a real disdain for people in general, for the common person, and the attitudes that, say, a lot of common Americans have. They just treat them as if they are worthless individuals, deplorables. I just want to read a commentary from Dennis Prager. This was printed in the Epoch Times of June 9th. Mr. Prager wrote, "The single best thing Americans can do to counter the left-wing attack on America is to take their children out of America's schools." He said, "The vast majority of America's elementary schools, high schools, colleges, and universities teach your child or grandchild almost nothing important, prematurely sexualize them, thereby robbing them of their innocence, and harm them intellectually and morally. They rarely teach them, for example, art or music because they're too busy teaching them race-centered hatred of whites, of America, and of America's values. Sending your children to most American schools is playing Russian roulette with their values. But unlike the gun in Russian roulette, which has a bullet in only one of its six chambers, the school's guns hold four or five bullets." He writes, "Millions of Americans' children have contempt for America, for free speech, and for their parents as a result of attending an American college or even high school." I was recently speaking with a friend of mine who was telling me about her neighbor who sent her son off to college, and he came back for a visit. And she said that he was an absolutely different kid after spending just a short time in this university. And he was there at home, back in his parents' home, you know, their guest, and he was accusing them of being racist. And he was getting on their case for watching Fox News. He just felt like he was so morally superior to them because of the intellectual environment that he was living in there at the college. That kind of contempt, that kind of disdain for the common people is really something you see it across so many of our politicians. You see it across the media elites. You see it in the universities, more and more in society today. That arrogance and that generation that feels like they are absolutely pure. In their own eyes, they are above reproach, and yet they're not washed from their filthiness. We'll look now at Proverbs 22 and verse 28. This proverb says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." This same sentiment is repeated in roughly the same way in Proverbs 23 and verse 10. This is a very important principle to God. Don't remove the ancient landmark. You actually see this a couple of times in the book of Deuteronomy, stated in the law of God. Now, what is this talking about? G.K. Chesterton said this, "Don't ever take a fence down until you know the reason it was put up." This is a basic principle of conservatism. Those boundaries were put there for a reason, maybe many reasons. So respect them. Don't throw them out. Don't take them down cavalierly and just assume that everything is going to work out. This is basically describing having a fundamental respect for previous generations and a fundamental respect for borders and boundaries and limits. Society today is so convinced that we are so intelligent, we're so morally superior to everyone before us. We believe in evolution, which is this worldview where everything naturally just gets better and better and better. And so we're throwing away hard-earned knowledge. We're casting aside the lessons of history. We're throwing out the wisdom and the revelation from God. And in the process, we are dismantling pillars of society that have existed for generations. We're throwing out these institutions that have defined human beings. You see it actively in something like the pulling down of statues, where we just want to discard these symbols of our own history. But you see casting aside of norms and just the rules of etiquette in society. You see even casting aside of institutions like law enforcement, even defining institutions like marriage and sex. We're just going to throw those aside. Let me just read a few news items. This is from the Daily Mail from June 9th. It's talking about how there are serious plans underway for Cambridge to rename Churchill College. And it cites an anonymous source at the university. The college held an event called The Racial Consequences of Mr. Churchill, where Winston Churchill, really Britain's greatest prime minister, one of the towering figures of the 20th century who saved civilization from the Nazi menace, he was accused of being the perfect embodiment of white supremacist philosophy. And one speaker at this event said, the British Empire was far worse than the Nazis. The British Empire was far worse than the Nazis. How about that for an enlightened opinion? And these folks at Cambridge are just ready to cast Churchill aside. Here's another article from the Daily Telegraph from June 8th. It says that the Queen has become the latest victim of cancel culture as her portrait is removed from Oxford College. Graduate members of Magdalen College in Oxford voted to remove a portrait of the Queen from their common room because she, quote, represents recent colonial history. In fact, they're going beyond just removing the Queen's portrait. We have a Trumpet article from June 9th written by Andrew Miller that says young Britons want to abolish the monarchy. A YouGov survey of 4,870 people found that 4 out of 10 Britons age 18 to 24 would prefer it if their country had an elected head of state instead of a king or queen. Only 3 out of 10 young Britons said they liked living in a constitutional monarchy. So this is an institution that has existed for 3,000 years, and they want to abolish it entirely. God says, don't remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. And the ancient landmark, that could mean the ancient boundary. And even there you see our leaders destroying our national borders. They want to leave us without boundaries. They want to cast off restraints. They want to remove limits. And what terrible consequences there are when we ignore this ancient wisdom. In Proverbs 22 and verse 28. Here's another sin that is described in the Proverbs. Proverbs 28 and verse 20 says this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And verse 22 says, "He that hastes to be rich has an evil eye and considers not that poverty shall come upon him." Now, there are a lot of people that are making haste to be rich. And we live in an environment where you have a lot of stimulus money that's flying around. Governments are printing a lot of money and they're handing it out with haste. And there are a lot of people making haste to be rich. And as it says in this verse, someone who does that is not innocent and they have an evil eye. I want to read a report from Axios. This is from June 10th. It says that criminals stole as much as half of the unemployment benefits the U.S. pumped out over the past year. When the pandemic hit, states weren't prepared for the unprecedented wave of unemployment claims. They all knew fraud was inevitable, but decided that getting the money out to people who desperately needed it was more important than laboriously making sure all of them were genuine. And Axios quotes Blake Hall, the CEO of ID.me, which tries to prevent this kind of fraud. And he says, "America has lost more than $400 billion to fraudulent claims. As much as 50% of all unemployment money is suspected stolen," he says. They also quoted a man named Hayward Talkove, CEO of LexisNexis Risk Solutions. He estimates that at least 70% of the money stolen by imposters ultimately left the country, much of it ending up in the hands of criminal syndicates in China, Nigeria, Russia, and elsewhere. And he says these groups are definitely backed by the state. So you have foreign governments watching what's happening in America with U.S. leaders throwing money around, printing it up, and then throwing these checks out there without really doing due diligence to ensure that it's not being abused. And they step in and they want to use this as an opportunity to get some of this money themselves. And they were phenomenally successful. $400 billion, 70% of which went to foreign crime syndicates. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal fact. And this is also an example of just the foolishness of our governments, the lack of wisdom, not only in printing the money in the first place, but then just distributing it with such haste that they aren't even concerned about the fact that it may go into the wrong hands. These are sins that really have consequences. And these verses say, you know, those who do this shall not be innocent. They're not going to go unpunished. Those who sought to profit from the stimulus money the way that they did, they're not going to go unpunished. God is going to judge them for it. It says that they will come to poverty. All that stimulus money creates a lot of inflation. The money is worth less. It is going to impoverish people, and really it has the worst effect on the poor. You know, those who are in power, they claim to be for the poor, but all of that money printing imposes really a hidden tax that hurts the poor most of all. I want to look at a positive proverb that gives a bit of a contrast here. Proverbs 29 and verse 14 says, "The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever." The ruler who provides justice for the lowliest citizen demonstrates his universal respect for human beings. He seeks to do what's right. He's not exercising power arbitrarily. He wants all people to thrive. And that's really a wonderful quality in a leader. That's really the way God is. He wants all people to thrive. If a king is thinking like that, he's thinking like God. And that kind of statesmanship helps to make his kingdom secure. You can also look at Proverbs 20 and verse 28 that says, "Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upheld by righteousness." Those are wonderful qualities when you can find those in a ruler. Now, still here in Proverbs 29, it says in verse 4, "The king by judgment establishes the land, but he that receives gifts overthrows it." So that says that a leader can actually overthrow the land. simply by taking gifts or accepting bribes. That's what that's talking about. You might remember a story from last November. There was an economics professor in Beijing who was also a liaison to Chinese Communist Party, and he was speaking in front of a large gathering, and he was saying, you know, we can't fix Donald Trump. Any time that we had problems with something with the American government, from the time that Bill Clinton came to power in 1992 all the way through the Obama years in 2016, we were able to solve those problems very quickly. And he said specifically, this is a translation, he was speaking in Mandarin Chinese, it's just because we have people at the top. At the top of America's core inner circle of power and influence, we have our old friends. And he actually said that this goes back 30, 40 years. He said this, you all heard that Trump said Biden's son has securities companies all over the world. But who helped Biden's son build his global companies? You understand? There are indeed buy and sell transactions involved here. These comments from this Chinese professor just threw a spotlight on this culture of corruption that saturates Washington and establishment politics in the United States. For years as a senator, Joe Biden supported favorable treatment of China. And you look at what this professor was saying to a group of his own people. He didn't expect that this video would be released or leaked to the West. He was speaking very plainly and frankly to this group of Chinese businessmen and investors. Joe Biden's son, Hunter, has been shown to have taken all kinds of bribes. And some of them, it looks, were specifically to give foreigners access to his powerful and influential father. He took a $100,000 international shopping spree that was paid for by Chinese nationals. He received a 2.8-carat diamond from Yi Jianming, $3.5 million wire transfer from the widow of Moscow's former mayor. You know, these types of deals are routine in politics today, very sadly. And these are just the officially corrupt deals. You have lobbyists that spend $3.5 billion a year in Washington. They're all over Washington. A lot of people look at that and consider a lot of what goes on in the lobbying front a type of bribery. But this proverb, Proverbs 29 and verse 4, says a king that receives gifts overthrows the land. When a leader puts self-interest and personal gain over the good of the state, the damage to the nation is incalculable. A leadership position is a position of trust. The public trusts that leader to work in their interest. And he's given vast privilege in handling the matters of the state. And abuses of that privilege can be devastating in terms of his decision-making being compromised and breaches of security, foreigners getting access to information that they should never have. An enemy can easily exploit the greed of an unscrupulous leader to gain access to information or to gain influence over that government. Accepting bribes invites sabotage and all kinds of destructive problems in a nation. It can overthrow the land. Verse 12 of Proverbs 29 says, if a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. What problems develop when leaders listen to and give attention to lies? Those lies begin to determine public policy. You quickly end up with all kinds of distortions and injustices in that nation. And really, there comes to be a general acceptance of lies and a devaluing of the truth. And those lies become more and more powerful within that state. And of course, lies open the door for a lot of other vices and problems. Other sins multiply under that cloak of deceit. Wickedness of all types spreads, and it really spreads through the whole administration. It says that when a leader is listening to lies, all his servants, all his officials become wicked. And of course, it hurts all the people as well. They get caught in those lies and the consequences of those lies. I just want to give one stunning, specific example of this. This is from CatholicVote.org, dated June 11th. And it talks about the $6 trillion budget proposal that Joe Biden put forward. And it says that this budget refers to mothers as, quote, birthing people. Doesn't refer to them as mothers, but birthing people. And this article says the Biden administration appears to have adopted the term birthing people from far-left activists who preach that references to biological sex are not, quote, inclusive of all LGBTQ people. Just a tiny example of the problems that result when a leader hearkens to lies. And this is definitely a very, very destructive lie. Proverbs 24 and verse 23 says this: "These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." Respect of persons. Applying one set of rules to one group of people and an entirely different set of rules to others. Now, this proverb says it is not good. This is something that really God hates. He hates when this group of protesters is given space to riot and burn, and then another set of protesters is applied a totally different set of rules, and they are jailed for even trespassing. That is not good. It's not good when you have elites who insist that America have open borders, let's just throw the borders wide open, and at the same time, they live in fenced and gated private communities. They certainly see the value of walls when it comes to their own personal security. There was a Daily Mail article from June 11th that says BLM co-founder builds $35,000 fence around her mansion. And it quotes a neighbor saying it'll have an electric gate at the driveway portion, a walk-up door and call box and other safety measures, cameras to keep the riffraff out. These kinds of double standards are so, so common today. And God hates double standards. You can read three different proverbs that talk about just how much he hates diverse weights and measures and a false balance. It says that these are an abomination to God. Proverbs 11 and verse 1, and then verses 10 and 23 of Proverbs 20. God has one standard, one unchanging standard, and that's the way that we should think as well. That's the standard that we should try to abide by. Whatever our station, from the highest to the lowest, it's one law that applies to all. Proverbs 24 and verse 24, this is the next verse down. It says, "He that says unto the wicked, you are righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him." Now, this kind of moral inversion is happening all over the place. People saying to the wicked, "You are righteous." And this is how we end up with a man like Hunter Biden, who's applauded and lionized. And he's going on the talk TV circuit. A lot of people are promoting his book, even though he's just been shown to really do some morally reprehensible things. You have a man like Anthony Fauci, who is literally treated like a saint. People call him Saint Fauci. You end up with drag queen hour for children at your local county library. These are the problems that come when you say to the wicked, "You are righteous." But this is what happens when society throws out God's morality. It establishes its own counterfeit and entirely perverse alternate morality. People decide what is quote-unquote righteous. And it's even things that are just demonstrably destructive and evil. And a lot of people can see it, and many of them even curse it, like it says here. Him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him, and yet it keeps getting worse. But verse 25 says, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. You know, evil needs to be rebuked. And when it is, and there are some examples out there, it really is a cause for rejoicing. I know I've received videos people have sent to me where you have people at school board meetings where they're speaking out against anti-U.S. indoctrination and transgender propaganda, and you have headlines on these videos that say things like, you know, listen to this dad's speech, it will make you cheer. There are people who cheer when evil is rebuked like that. When someone stands up, I think this is one of the reasons why so many people are so thankful for Donald Trump, why he has such strong support among so many, because he's not afraid to call things out that are wrong. He's not afraid to rebuke evil. That's a delight to a whole lot of people. Let's look now at Proverbs 17 and verse 15. This says, he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are abomination to the eternal. Now, this is the upside down world we live in. People justifying the wicked, people condemning the just. And this says God hates that. God's standards do not change. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And that's the way God thinks. And really, beloved listeners, that is the way we need to think. We need to think like God and hold the line and don't get caught up in the waffling and the lies, and don't be influenced by these shifting standards in the world around us and this constant redefinition of what is right and what is wrong. Proverbs 17 and verse 26 says, also, to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity, or to flog noble men for their uprightness. That is not good. That is not just. And there's a lot of that kind of injustice going on in the world around us. And the egregious problems that result when your moral compass is askew, we really see these problems all around us. And everywhere we see the just being punished. We see teachers being fired for failing to use someone's preferred pronouns. You have parents actually losing their children being taken by the state because they resist transition therapy for their kids. We see noble men being flogged, essentially, for doing the right thing. I'll just give you a couple of examples. This is from an article that Andrew Miller wrote at thetrumpet.com on May 20th. Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer was commander of the 11th Space Warning Squadron at Buckley Air Force Base, and this man self-published a book exposing how today's military training, this diversity, inclusion, and equity training, is rooted in critical race theory, which is rooted in Marxism. Now, for speaking out against this, this man, this lieutenant colonel, was fired by Lieutenant General Stephen Whiting, who said that it was because of, quote, a loss of trust and confidence in his ability to lead. He spoke out against the infiltration of Marxist thinking into military training and was fired for it. And this is actually not an unusual case. There are quite a few cases where you have soldiers being fired for being anti-communist. It wasn't that long ago that being anti-communist was why people actually joined America's military. And now it'll get you fired. I'll give you another example. This is from the National Review of May 26th. David Daleiden is a pro-life journalist who got video footage of abortion industry workers, including executives at Planned Parenthood, admitting that they sell organs and tissue from aborted babies for research. He got all of this, caught all of it on video. Abortion industry workers admitting that they sell organs and tissue from aborted babies for research. That is absolutely reprehensible. Now, Congress investigated this and confirmed that what he found, what he got caught on footage, was actually true, that these individuals were guilty of exactly what they confessed to. But they didn't go after the people selling aborted baby parts. They went after this journalist for violating federal and state laws in the way that he collected this information. This article from the National Review says, since 2015, this journalist has been embroiled in several costly lawsuits, including from the National Abortion Federation, Planned Parenthood, and the state of California, seeking to punish him and suppress his footage. They don't want it out there. And so they're going after this guy. And sadly, one would suspect that they probably have a pretty good case given the state of the justice system in America today. I'll read now Proverbs 18 and verse 5. It says, "It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment." It's not good to be partial to a wicked man or to deprive a righteous man of justice. And yet this is happening all over in our upside down world. It's not good. It is a curse. It creates so many serious, serious problems. Well, you're listening to Trumpet Hour. We're looking at several nuggets of wisdom from the biblical book of Proverbs, written some 3,000 years ago, that illuminate current events. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue this remarkable look at what is happening in the world around us through the lens of this ancient wisdom. We'll be right back.
This is the voice of the Trumpet News Magazine. You're listening to Trumpet Hour.
There's a lot of talk today about trying to confront racism and eliminate the scourge of racism from our nations, but it's being defined in a way that only white people are even capable of racism. Now, when you do that, you create space for a lot of terrible hatred based on race, based on skin color. Let me read an article from Zero Hedge from June 5th. An official event at the Yale School of Medicine featured a New York-based psychiatrist giving a talk entitled "The Psychopathic Problem of the White Mind." And this audio became available. This New York-based Dr. Aruna Kilanani gleefully musing about murdering white people. It was posted on journalist Barry Weiss's Substack. In the talk, this woman said, "I had fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, burying their body and wiping my bloody hands as I walked away, relatively guiltless, with a bounce in my step, like I did the world a favor." This woman also told the Yale students, "This is the cost of talking to white people at all. The cost of your own life as they suck you dry. There are no good apples out there. White people make my blood boil. We keep forgetting that directly talking about race is a waste of our breath. We are asking a demented, violent predator who thinks that they are a saint or a superhero to accept responsibility. It ain't gonna happen. They have five holes in their brain." Now, it should be clear to anybody whose thinking hasn't been warped that this isn't going to make society more just, more peaceful, more equal, or more free. But the reality is the level of hatred and animosity is growing in a lot of ways in society today. And it is strong evidence of just how the influence of the devil is increasing as this world makes its way through its final days in this age of man. But look at Proverbs 29 and verse 10. This says, "The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul." There are a lot of evil people who hate the upright. And the more wicked the people, the greater their hatred for those who represent the opposite. They don't want anyone even suggesting that they aren't perfect and right and pure in all that is in their heart to do. They just want to snuff out goodness, silence the voice of virtue, which they equate with the voice of judgment. It condemns them, so they just want to eliminate it. Just like they sought to silence God's prophets and kill Jesus Christ, just like Satan wants to blot out the very name of Israel. Verse 27 of Proverbs 29 says, "An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked." There is an irreconcilable conflict between righteousness and wickedness, between light and darkness. The wicked hate the upright. They want to stamp out righteousness. But the question is, do we hate evil enough? That's not a question a lot of people consider, but it's important to think deeply about. God hates evil, and so should we. This says an unjust man is an abomination to the just. You know, abomination, we've read quite a few Proverbs that use that word. It's as strong a word as there is to describe God's righteous emotion. And if we're thinking like God, the unjust is an abomination to us. We don't want anything to do with the wickedness in this world. There can be no fellowship between good and evil, light and dark. Proverbs 28 and verse 12 says, "When righteous men do rejoice, there's great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden." Now, in today's world, the wicked are risen. The transgressors are come to the full, Daniel says. A lot of people are hiding. You know, a lot of people dislike what is happening. But as it says in verse 28 of this same chapter, Proverbs 28, "When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase." There is a powerful suppressing force at work today, a coercive force that is driving a lot of people into hiding. It's interesting, when Donald Trump was in power, he brought a lot of people out of hiding. He was saying things that you weren't allowed to say, and it emboldened a lot of people. Now, you see this war between those who would speak openly and those who are eager to silence dissent and drive those forces into hiding. And that's what these Proverbs are talking about. I'll read another one to you, Proverbs 25 and verse 26. It says, "A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring." Now, the picture here is a tragic one, something that really hurts a lot of people. You have a fountain or a spring. This is something that should be a refreshment to a weary traveler and a lot of other people, but it is corrupted. And it says, this is like a righteous man falling down before the wicked. That could mean he gets caught up in sin. It could mean the righteous are being oppressed and trampled on by the wicked. It could mean the righteous are succumbing to cowardice. They're afraid to stand up to wickedness, and they're actually giving in to evil that they should be fighting. All of these things are tragedies, and they discourage a lot of people, and they strengthen the hand of sinners in their sin. But this is really happening all around us. Everywhere today, we see righteous people falling before the wicked, people who should be standing up to evil but are giving into it. You have police officers bowing down to racist mobs. You have businesses that are embracing radical leftist causes to avoid public criticism. You have conservative politicians that are showing support for very radical issues, transgenderism and and dismantling police forces and so on. And there are cases where you occasionally see someone take a stand for what is right, and then they get condemned for it, and they quickly apologize and kowtow to the radicals. This is happening so often today. Proverbs 28 and verse 2 is another interesting picture. It says, "For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof." Or the Revised Standard says, "When a land transgresses, it has many rulers." Now think about this. When you depart from God's form of government and transgression increases, you have this this effect of a democratization of leadership. And you see this happening in a lot of ways, say in America today. We have a few businessmen who run giant tech corporations who are actually setting the rules for who can participate in public discourse and who can't. You have Black Lives Matter activists gaining enough influence to defund police departments. You have people who create autonomous zones within cities where they basically say the law of the land does not apply here. You have individual mayors or governors who are deciding which federal laws they're going to enforce by creating sanctuary cities that operate outside the law. In Britain, you have sections of the country that are governed, literally governed by Sharia law. They have their own court system. They have their own system of justice and law enforcement within these areas by Islamists. So you don't have one law. You don't have one standard governing the whole country. You have, as Proverb 28 verse 2 says, many rulers. You have everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes. Let me read to you Proverbs 29 and verse 8. This says, "Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath." The margin of this says, "Scornful men set a city on fire." What terrible dangers are brought about by scornful men? Wise people understand how devastating wrath can be, and they work to turn it away and to pacify it and prevent it from breaking out. Like it says in Proverbs 17 and verse 14, starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before a dispute breaks out. But scornful men and scoffers do the opposite. They really become tools in the devil's hand to foment wrath, to encourage and stoke wrath. They actually want to unleash these revolutionary forces as a weapon for personal gain. And this is exceedingly foolish. And as Proverbs 29 verse 8 says, they are literally setting cities on fire. They're tearing this country apart. And the reality is we're all going to lose. As our editor-in-chief, Gerald Fleury, has said, when America has a civil war, nobody wins. Nobody wins. Proverbs 26 and verse 21 says, "As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." Kindling strife brings unexpected consequences. I think you can make a comparison with the virus that has been unleashed. There were literally people working in labs trying to manipulate genetic information to create this virus or to make it do specific things. And surely the people who were responsible for that thought that they could control it. But the reality is man is very limited in our understanding. And we can't predict outcomes. We can't control consequences of these types of things, especially when you're dealing with such powerful forces. And those who are manipulating the public's anger and pitting one group of people against another people purposefully, they really are dealing with forces that are beyond their ability to control. Proverbs 28 and verse 15 says this, "As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people." A malevolent leader can do terrible, terrible damage. If you haven't read it, I really recommend that you read America Under Attack, written by our editor-in-chief, Gerald Fleury. This booklet explains the spiritual dimension behind the presidential administration of Barack Obama. It shows how much the devil used this as a tool to destroy America. And that booklet, it was written several years ago. It's still very relevant because that administration in power right now is full of all the same people who were in the Obama administration. There are a lot of people who are rightfully calling the administration of Joe Biden essentially a third term for President Obama. Now, that kind of an individual can wreak terrible devastation when he has his hands on the levers of power and do a lot of damage to a lot of people. Verse 16 says, "The prince that lacks understanding is also a great oppressor." A great oppressor, just for lacking understanding. When you have someone in power who just doesn't understand, you know, they lack understanding, they can be a great oppressor. And I think on one hand, you have the malevolent leader that's described in verse 15. Here's maybe somebody who just doesn't know any better. But I think you have a lot of both of these today. Just think about what's been happening with coronavirus and how much suffering has been caused by leaders who are just so quick and eager to restrict and steal people's freedoms and issuing these arbitrary commands at their own whim. A ruler who lacks understanding can make life miserable for a lot of people. Proverbs 29 and verse 16 says, "When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall." Now, once the wicked feel like they're in the majority, they have the power behind them, they've got the momentum, they wax even bolder in their wickedness and their sin. And the lawlessness goes greater and greater, and the worse the sin gets, the more it hurts the nation. But this verse says, when the wicked are in authority, transgression increases. I'm reading this from the Revised Standard Version. But the righteous will look upon their downfall. That is a promise. And that's something that we can hold on to. We can have faith that the problems that we see today are not going to last. This is going to come to an end. The righteous will look upon the downfall of the wicked. We can keep faith. God is going to judge. And we will witness the judgment of the liars and the thieves and so on. That is a promise you can hold on to. We'll finish in Proverbs 29 and verse 2. It says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn." Now, we've been talking a lot about the second part of that verse. There are a lot of people who are mourning right now, that hate what is happening to our nations, not just in America, not just in Britain. You have Israelis, you have Australians, you have New Zealanders, Canadians, South Africans, a lot of people in the modern nations of Israel. But in a lot of countries, far beyond the nations of Israel, people mourning because of the wickedness of the rulers who are in power today, mourning over what these leaders are doing. And how much these countries have stood for is being eroded and trampled on and vitiated. A lot of mourning going on. I've had the opportunity to be a part of the Celtic Throne tour that's going on. And we're going around to different cities and performing this show in front of various audiences. And I'm part of a trio that sings this medley of American songs. We sing "Grand Old Flag" and "America the Beautiful" and "My Country 'Tis of Thee." And I'm there on stage, and I'm looking at these people in front of me, and I'm singing these words: "My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name I love." I'm singing, "Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. Let freedom ring." And I'm looking at people as we're singing these songs, and people are crying. You know, There's joy to hear those words as we talk about freedom and about God blessing us. But it's poignant and it's bittersweet because it's such a stark reminder of what is being lost and what is being surrendered. There are a lot of people mourning right now, people who want answers and want justice and want law and order and want freedom. And they're living in countries where they feel helpless to stop what is happening. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. But it says when the righteous are in authority, Proverbs 29:2, the people rejoice. When God is in your life, you have something to rejoice over: righteous leadership. If you are governing your family according to God's laws, your family can rejoice. If you're in God's true church under His government, you can rejoice that that government is active in your life. And beyond that, we can rejoice that God is the ultimate power in charge. As difficult as all of these problems are that are going on around us, we can rejoice that God is ultimately in charge and He promises to correct these problems, to set things right. And He promises that to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And at His second coming, He is going to establish righteous rulership over this entire earth. And when the righteous are in authority, the people will rejoice. So very, very soon, all of the mourning today is going to turn into rejoicing as people all over this world begin to experience the wonderful, wonderful blessings of righteous leadership. I'm Joel Hilliker, and that will do it for today's Trumpet Hour. You can send me any thoughts on today's program to letters@thetrumpet.com. Thanks to Nick Irwin and Dwight Falk for engineering and production, and I'll leave you with this thought from Thomas Jefferson. Experience hath shown that even under the best forms of government, those entrusted with power have in time, by slow operations, perverted it into tyranny. Thank you for joining us on Trumpet Hour. Until next time, keep watching your world.
Listening to Trumpet Hour on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and online at kpcg.fm. Understand your world.